Today's daf is Bava Basra daf mem. We are at the very last line on daf lamites omid beis omarova omarav nachman. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu b'nei Yisrael hanasunim batzar v'ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Menachem Mendel ben Nechama Dina. So the topic of the last two dafin has been the concept of macha, which is a critical part of Cheskes Habatim. Today's daf is going to begin with a memra that Rava said in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Nachman, that relates to macha. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, macha b'fnei shnayim, ve'ein tzarech loymer ksuf. Proper macha has to be made in the presence of two people. What's the chiddush? Not one person, but also not three people. Yesterday's daf, we saw a little bit of a discussion. Macha b'fnei beis or macha b'fnei gimel. So Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, macha b'fnei shtayim. Additionally, what he said was that the edim that witnessed this macha, if they choose to transcribe and chronicle and write down what it is they saw, it's something that they would have a right to do. Meaning, ordinarily, you could have argued that if the moicha instructs the edim to write the fact that he was moicha, then they would have a right to do so and it would be a proper document. If, however, he never gave them reshus to do it, then maybe it's not a proper document. Kamash malon, that even if the oirer never told the edim ksuvu, they can write it anyways. And the Rashbam says that the reason is because zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. And the oirer doesn't lose by having the fact that he was moicha in writing. To the contrary, he gains. There's no downside. It's pure upside. Alzeh nemar zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. And that's the second half of what Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman. Number one, macha b'fnei shnayim. Number two, ve'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu. Moida b'fnei shnayim. He continued. He said, a moida also has to be made in the presence of two people. Ve'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu. And the two edim that witness a moida are allowed to write it. They don't need reshus to write it. So what's a moida? So that's going to be very much the topic of today's daf. The concept of a moida is where a person says that I'm about to engage in a transaction. However, I want to be moiser moida. Heavy idea. I want you to know, Shimon or Rabbeisai, that even though it looks like I'm about to buy something, I'm about to sell something, I'm doing it under some form of coercion. I don't really have das to do it. I have no choice, but I want you to know the truth so that one day, if and when I'm able to go to court, I'm going to pull you out as my two edim that are going to know the emes. So if somebody is moiser moida, he has to do so in front of two people. Additionally, if they want to write the fact that there was this moida, they could. And again, it's for the same reason, because zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. Hoida b'fnei shnayim v'tzarech loymar ksuvu. What's hoida? Hoidah is spalding. Kamei edim dami. So if somebody's moida that he owes somebody money, that hoida will have an effect to the extent that it was made in the presence of two edim. If those two edim want to now transcribe this hoida, they would have to have reshus to do so. And the reason is because whereas the first two scenarios were a schus, v'zachin la'adam shloi b'fanav, this is already a chayv, v'ein chavin la'adam ela b'fanav. Because if someone's mechayev himself, per haidas padin kamei edim dami, it just means it's going to cost them at some point. Now, to have it in writing is obviously a little bit more intense than it not being in writing. What's the nafkamina? So the Rashbam says it's similar to a milva al peh versus a milva b'shtar. Haidas padin kamei edim dami al peh is one shulchan aruch. Haidas padin kamei edim dami b'shtar has a more intense shulchan aruch. So being that writing this hoida is going to be a chayv over there, unless this person instructed the edim to go write it, the edim would not be able to write it. And finally, kinyan bifnei shnayim ve'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu, a kinyan needs to be made in front of two edim in order for it to be effective, and the edim are allowed to write the kinyan without anyone telling them to write it. The Gemara is going to explain that in a minute. V'kiyam shtaris b'shloisha, and kiyam shtaris, when edim am v'kayim ashtar, when edim verify the signatures on a shtar are proper signatures, it's not enough that you have two people. For that already you need a bezdin, and being that you need a bezdin, for that you're going to need three people. Simin Mem, mem, hey, kof. Either way, Rava's about to make a comment now. So again, Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, Macha b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu. Moida b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu. Hoida b'fnei shnayim, v'tzarech loymar ksuvu. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech loymar ksuvu. Oh, and by the way, v'kiyam shtaris, B'shloisha, no word about. Tzarech leimer ksuvu, or ain't tzarech leimer ksuvu. We explained Rav Amar Rav Nachman, the way the Rashbam explained it, and that is, it's based on Zachen la'adam shloi b'fanam versus Ein chavin la'adam ela b'fanam. So to the extent it's a schus, Ein tzarech leimer ksuvu. To the extent that it's a chayv, tzarech leimer ksuvu. There's one part of what Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman that doesn't fit very neatly into this mahalach, and that is kinyan bifnei shnayim ve'ein tzarech leimer ksuvim. Now, we didn't even explain it. We said the Gemara is going to explain it, which is what the Gemara is about to do. But just as a segue, kinyan bifnei shnayim sounds like that if you want to make a kinyan, you need two edim. Okay, ve'ein tzarech leimer ksuvim, you don't have to tell the edim to go and write the fact that there was a kinyan. If they want to write that there was a kinyan, that's something they have a right to do. Now, is it a schus to say that somebody was involved in a kinyan, or is it a chayv to say that somebody was involved in a kinyan? It could very easily be a chayv. If somebody is selling something that maybe he really wasn't so interested in selling, he was desperate to do so, now that it's in writing, everyone's going to know what happened, he'll never be able to deny it at some point in the future. So as it relates to kinyan, Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, we understand, of the ein tzarech leimer ksuvu, based on our hagdara that it's totally in schus versus chayv. So how do you understand kinyan b'fnei shnayim, the ein tzarech leimer ksuvu? And that's really what's bothering Rava in this next gemara. Amar Rava, Rava said, ikashali hakashali. From everything that I said over in the name of my Rebbe Rav Nachman, I understand everything. There's one thing I don't understand, and that is kinyan b'fnei shnayim, the ein tzarech leimer ksuvu. He said, "Hay kinyan heichidami." How exactly did Rav Nachman understand kinyan? Ika ma'isa bezdin dami. If he understood that every kinyan is treated like a ma'isa bezdin, and that's why ein tzarech leimer ksuvu. Well, if that's the case, li ba'yut klasa, you should have to have three. So, what's this havamina? Ika ma'isa bezdin dami. It's a very big chiddush. Maybe, said Rava, Rav Nachman felt that the reason you don't have to tell the Edom when they witness a kinyan to go ahead and write it, they could write it on their own, is because every kinyan is viewed as a Maisa Bezdin. Maisa Bezdin is when Bezdin takes matters into their own hand, something they have a right to do, per the laws of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Now, Bezdin decides that we're taking money from Reuven and we're giving it to Shimon. They don't need anyone's permission to write it down. A Maisa Bezdin, Kamuvin, is something that gets documented. They have stenographers, whether the people involved give them permission to do so or don't give them permission to do so. So said Rava, I'm thinking out loud that maybe what Rav Nachman held when he said by a kinyan you don't have to say ksuvu is because every kinyan's like a ma'isa bezdin. Every kinyan, what's happening? This item is going from being in the possession of Reuven to now being in the possession of Shimon. That's like a bezdin de gezach. So maybe we deher every kinyan like a ma'isa bezdin. I think that besides from above a basra daf mem, you'd never see it that way. But again, Rav is trying to understand what Rav Nachman held. So maybe the reason when it comes to a kinyan, ein tzarech leimer ksuvu, is because a kinyan is really on some level like a ma'isa bezdin. The whole concept of a kinyan is a shtickel chiddush. And because it's like a ma'isa bezdin, maybe it's for that reason ein tzarech leimer ksuvu. But the problem is, if that's the case, you should have to have three witnesses that are going to be the bezdin. And if like a ma'isa bezdin on me, and if Rav said, if Rav Nachman didn't see a kinyan like a ma'isa bezdin, and that's why you only need two people, then am I in it's tzarech leimer ksuvu? So why don't you have to say ksuvu? In other words, in short, Rava says, I understand everything that Rav Nachman said, elo I kashali. The only thing I don't understand is kinyan bifnei shnayim ve'ein it's tzarech leimer ksuvu l'chayr, it's a chayv. If it's a chayv, then why is it that you don't have to say ksuvah? And you're going to tell me maybe because Rav Nachman deherred every kinyan like a ma'isa bezdin. Well, if that's the case, it should have to be done in front of three people, not in front of two people. So the Gemara says, "Basa d'bayi hada pashta." After Rava posed this question, he was poshuted by himself. La'olam lafka ma'isa bezdin dami. La'olam Rav Nachman held that a kinyan is not like a ma'isa bezdin. That's why it only has to be b'fnei shnayim. It doesn't have to be b'fnei shloish b'achal taimamai. So if that's the case, so why is it that ein tzarech leimer ksuvu? The reason is mishum d'stam kinyan l'ksiva oimid. Because there's an umdina that if a person engages in a kinyan, probably he wanted that it should be written, or at the very least he has no problem with it being written. And for that reason, even if he didn't say ksuvu, it's as if he said ksuva. So it's true. It's not zochen l'adam shloi b'fanam. But there's an umdana that stam kinyan l'ksiva oimet. The Rashbam adds a knech. And that is that stam kinyan in Shas is kinyan sudar. It's chalipin. And really, this halach of Rav Nachman, that kinyan b'fnei shnayim v'ein tzarech leimer ksuvu, is talking specifically about chalipin. Now, there's something unique about chalipin. And that is that if two people decide that they want to engage in a transaction, I'll sell you my car. Okay, how do you acquire the car? If could do Mashiach, right? Akbar, I guess you can't do that with a car. But the point is, you're going to have to get the keys, go to the driveway, find the car, pull out. It's going to take a little bit of time. You can't do the Kinyan ASAP, right? Moise is not kindness. And as a result, it's not going to happen the second you decide for it to happen. If, however, the Kinyan that you're using is Kinyan Chalipin, it's Kinyan Soder, it could happen in a second, right? You take off your yarmulke, you pull out a handkerchief, you pick it up, you put it down, and that is a valid form of Kinyan Soder. It's going to happen right now. So to the extent that there's a koina and a makna, and the makna says, yeah, I'll sell this to you, and I'll sell this to you using Kinyan Soder, that means he's ready for it to happen this second. If he's ready for it to happen this second, Dr. Rashbam, that means he's being maknit ba'ayin yofa. If he's being maknit by Ayin Yofa, then we assume that he's also okay with it being written. Part of giving something to somebody by Ayin Yofa is, I want it in writing. So if he says, I'll give it to you, but, you know, I'm in the mountains, my car is in the city, you'll get it on Monday. Okay, so that's not so by Ayin Yofa. But he says, no problem, King and Soda, let's just wrap this up this second. Oh, so you're already operating by Ayin Yofa, then we assume that you're also okay with it being written. So it's not like every single Kenyan, Zakhtar Ashbam, we're talking about a Kenyan Sudr, where it's clear that he's doing it by Ayin Yofa, to the extent that he's doing it by Ayin Yofa, then we assume that he also is okay with it being written. So on the topic of Moida, so this is a digression. We're talking about Macha, and from Macha we're going to Moida. How do we get from Macha to Moida? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Macha b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech lo yimer ktsuvu, Moida b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech lo yimer ktsuvu. So said Rav and Rav Yosef, Shavayu, on the topic of Moida, loy kasmina Moida, ela amanda loy tzayistino. The only time Edim, that witness of Moida, can actually write down this Moida, meaning the only time they can accept it as a proper Moida, is if the person who's being Moisa Maida and is selling something to someone or buying something from someone that he doesn't really want to is a Zasart Mensch, meaning the other party, that's Loitzayas the Bedina. He doesn't listen to Bezdin. If, however, he's a person that, as far as we know, listens to Bezdin, then the Edim can't write the Maida because the Maida is not a proper Maida. Meaning, what is a Maida? Maida is you're sitting at a closing, you're selling something. You go over to the two chevra on the side and you tell them, listen, I'm not really interested in this transaction, I'm being forced into it. So what would be the first thing these two people should tell the seller? Well, did you try getting out of it? They'll say, yeah, I tried, I couldn't. Did you take him to Bezdin? So if this person is a Loy Tzayas Dino, then the answer is simple. I can't take him to Bezdin. I'm wasting my time. But to the extent that he's a person that's Tzayas Dino, so then why don't you take him to Bezdin? That is a big hole in the whole Maida. We can't take this Maida seriously. We think you're maybe up to some no good. And as a result, we don't even trust the Maida. So that was Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef's Chiddush. Abaye and Rava, Dami Travayu, Abaye and Rava, they were both chaylik with Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. They both said, no, afilu alaiva alecha. Even if somebody wants to be Moisinda on me and on you, meaning, even people of the ilk of Abaye and Rava, these are people that are tzaisin on Ladina, right? Afal pikein, Roy lichtei v'leinu moida, says the Rashbam. Last line. You could write a moida even on us. And the reason is, the zimnin, the ain bezdin mezumim miyad. Because sometimes bezdin is not available. So this idea that the person is a tzayas dina, that in of itself doesn't necessarily mean that I'll have the opportunity to take him to bezdin. I'll have the opportunity to sue him. So just because the person is a tzayas dina, that in and of itself does not knock out the whole concept of a moida. More on the topic of moida. Amri Nahar Doi. In Nahar Doi, they said, Kol moida, to liksiv ba'ananyo dina be ba'unsa de planyo, lav moidoi. So in Nahar Doi, they used to say that if you have a ksav that signed by two edim that claim to have witnessed a moida, that's a very big deal. This is a transaction that was recorded, etc., etc., but there's a piece of paper that says that there was a moida, and that's going to technically nullify this transaction. If the shtar moida doesn't spell out clearly what exactly the oinus was that this person claims, what the duress that he was under was, then moida is not going to be a moida. In other words, you have to really do a due diligence, Bezdin does, and really, really drill down onto the nuance of a moida if they're going to accept the Maida. So the Gemara says, Maida demai. Why do we have to be so detailed when it comes to understanding a Maida? And more so, what type of transaction Didn't Hardoi say, if you want to nullify with a Maida, you would have to make sure you really know the details of what the oinus that the Maida is talking about is. Ida gita ude matanta. If it's talking about a shtar Maida for a get and a matana. So, somebody gave a get. And before he gave the get, he was Maisa Maida, then I'm only giving this get because I'm under duress. That's not something I want to do. Or somebody's giving someone a gift. And before he gives the gift, he's Maisa Maida, I don't really want to give away this gift, but the only reason I'm doing it is because I'm being forced to do it. If that's the type of Maida we're talking about, then Gilui Milsa Ba'almihi. Now what the taicha of those words are, the Rashbam mutches with a little bit. This is a Koloimar Rashbam. We always talk about the Koloimar Rashis. This is a Koloimar Rashbam, where you have to know what the taicha is. But the bottom line is, what the Rashbam is saying is that I don't think this Maida is such a questionable Maida that we should have to understand it on such a level that it's not enough that they're Edom that claim that they witnessed the Maida. The Edom would even have to write what the oinus was that this person is claiming he was under, for which he was being Maisa Maida. For a shtar that's a get, or a shtar matana, I don't think we have to drill into it so much. The Ida Zvini, if, however, it's a shtar mecher, we're there already, I could understand, we'll explain in a second, maybe why the Maida has to be a better Maida. Abavama Rava, the problem is, Rava said, like, Kasvina Maida, Zvini, we never write a Maida on Zvini. And this whole idea of Kasvina Maida is not on Zvini, it's only Agita Amatanta, but as it relates to Zvini now. So what's the Svara? There's a very clear Svara in this Gemara, that the Maida, when it comes to Zvini, is something that we're a little bit more worried about than the Maida when it comes to Gita Umatanta. Right? The Gemara holds in Svara that a Maida on a get and a Maida on a shtar matana, as long as you have a Maida, it's a piece of paper, two Edom, that good Edom signed on it, we're comfortable accepting it. When it comes to Zvini, there we're a little bit more concerned. So the Rashbam, Ba'arichos, says as follows. He says that we're a little bit more concerned by a Mecher because of the following reason. What happens if somebody wants to sell something? He wants to sell it because he's desperate for cash. But really, if he wasn't desperate, he wouldn't sell it. But right now, he's legitimately selling it. There's a very good move he can make if he has a good lawyer, who's also a little shady. He can tell him, here's the idea. What you should do is you should be Moisa Maida, the two people. They'll write down that this transaction wasn't a real transaction. And this is like an option that you have. If at some point you feel that you want to get that asset back because now you don't need the money anymore, you'll pull out the Maida and you're going to be good to go. That's a chashash that you have by Zvini. It's not a chashash that you have by a get. It's not a chashash that you have by Matana. This is something that's uniquely prevalent when somebody sells something, where he's getting money in return, right? When you give a get, you're not getting money in return. You give a Matana, you're not getting anything in return. Here you're getting something in return. So we're chayish that you have this short-term need for this thing that you're getting in return. But really, long-term, it's not something necessarily that you're going to need. As a result, maybe you pulled off this move. You were Maisa Maida, but the Maida is not a real Maida. So whenever you see a Maida and Zvini, we're a little bit more concerned. So the Gemara said, in Svara, I could hear Nahardai as it relates to a Maida for Zvini. That Maida, do some extra diligence into. I want to make sure it's legitimate. Don't just trust them when they say there was a Maida. I want to know the information. You do Bedikis, you do Chakiris, Eidah Shati Yochel Azima. You want to make sure this is the real thing. Otherwise, don't trust. In Svara, the Gemara says, I hear it. I'd rather don't hear Pegito Matanta, I hear it by Zvini. The problem is, Rava said that, like Kasvina Maida Zvini. So if like Kasvina Maida Zvini, then you're anyways not writing the Maida Zvini. Bal Karchach then Nardoi meant Gito Matanta. By Gito Matanta, the Gemara says, I don't really understand why you should have to be so medactic in the Maida. So if we're talking about Gito Matanta, why are you being so medactic? And if you're talking about Zvini, that's a problem. That's dead on arrival, because Rava said, like Kasvina Maida Zvini. So the Gemara says, like this, Leilam, the Zvini. Leilam, we're talking about Zvini, a Maida Rava, Hecha the Honest, Rava's Maida, that there is a time that you do write a Maida Azvini. When is that? If the Oinis was a Zasart Oinis, Kimaisa de Pardesa, like a Maisa Chaya Kachay that the Gemara is going to say in a second, that happened with a Pardes. So although it's true that Rava said, like Kasvina Maida Azvini, but it's not always true. There is a time that even Rava's Maida Kasvinan Maida Azvini, what would be a hechatimtza ukemaisa de pardesa? And in such a case, it's where Nahardai said that you can't
just write the Maidah.
To the extent that the Maidah is written as Vini, you have to write specifically what the Oynos was. So what was this Maisa with Pardisa? And why is it that in that case, Rava holds you could write a Maidah as Vini, even though ordinarily Rava holds Leikas Vina? So the Gemara says, the Hugav, there was a person, the Mashkin Pardisa, the Chavi Klashna. So there was a Malva and a Loiva, and the Loiva gave the Malva Mashkin. The Mashkin was a Pardisa, and it was for 3 years. Basa, the Achla, Klashne Chazaka, after the Malva finished eating the peiris, this was a mashkanta de surah, he had a right to eat the peiris for the 3 years, so it was time to return the paradis. So the malva and the loiva, they meet up, court, and now it's time to hand it over. Amar, the person whispers into his ear and he tells him as follows, imizavnesli mutav, I want this paradis, I want to give it back to you. Now I understand, based on the terms of our agreement, I was able to eat the peiris for 3 years, 3 years are up. Okay, I'm willing to pay for it, no problem. I'll pay you kesef mole, but I need you to sell it. Now, the eloi, you might not be interested in selling it. No problem. We'll play some hardball, right? Kavishna l'shtar mashkanta. I'm going to hide the shtar that says that I'm holding on to this as a mashkin. V'amina, and what I'm going to say is, l'kuchi hibiyadi, that I really bought it. Now, I've been living here for the last 3 years. You, foolishly, were never moicha, and as a result, I already have a cheskes gimel shonim. And if that's something I want to do, that's something I would be able to do. If this person, Wong Rashbam, says, okay, I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you. But he doesn't really want to sell it, right? So before he does that, he whispers into two chevres' ears and he says, listen, I'm being moise maida. Kahai gavne, in such a situation, kasvina maida, you would be able to write a maida. And that's where Nardoi said the halacha, that what? Kol maida, the like kasiv ba, ananya dina be ba'unza, the plan yila maida. What's it talking about? A maida desvina. I, Rava, said like kasvina maida desvina. He didn't always say like kasvina maida desvina. Sometimes like kasvina maida desvina. But there is a time, yeah? What's an example of when, yeah? Such as this maisa shahaya kachaya with dahu gavra the mashkin pardesa l'chavra. And in such a situation where you can write a maida, even on zvini, that's where it's been again, Nardoi's halacha. Now, from the Gemara itself, it's extremely sasam. Why, if Rava holds like kasvina maida desvini, when it comes to this case, and it's not just this case, it's a case that's similar to this case, there, Rava would hold, yes, kosvinon, moida azvini. What's the difference? And the truth is, it's a very, very big machloikas rishonim. We'll explain it the way the Rashbam explains it, even though all the rishonim fire away on the Rashbam. It's very hard to understand poshup shat what the Rashbam means. But the words of the Rashbam, al kaponim are, the reason Rava held, loy kosvinon, moida azvini, is because Rava held that what do you need to write a moida? Just have Aiden. Aiden must be witnessing the oynus take place, and because they're witnessing the oynus take place, so why do you have to write the moida? Let the Aiden step forward and let the Aiden be made. Now, what's the Rishonim's kasha on this? I don't know. Why do you always write things? You write things even though you have Aiden. What if the Aiden die? What if they're in Medina Sayam? What if you can't find them? It's a kasha of a maisa. Loika svina moida svini, because you don't need it? Okay. Let's take a deep breath. So you don't need it, but I want it. So loikosvina, it sounds like it's a din. You're not allowed to. So the Rishonim really don't understand the Rashbam's pshat. The second part of this is even harder. Zok de Gemara, that as much as that's true, it's only true if it's clear, and it's very, very evident, it's mamish shvarz and weiss, that there's an oynus taking place over here. But what if you have a case like the Ahu Gavra de Mashkin Pardesa, where it wasn't so clear? Because as much as this person didn't really want to sell it, but maybe he said, you know what? It's not really what I was thinking, but adasas lahachi, I'll really sell it to you. So over there, it'd be very hard for Adam to be meyed that this oinus was a proper oinus. So that's where it'd be negeya to be moisa moida, and that's where it'd be negeya to sit down and to write the moida. But the bottom line is, the Gemara is being mechalic between an oinus that's a clear oinus versus an oinus where it's not so clear that it's an oinus. If the oinus is clear that it's an oinus, so there's no point in being moisa maida, thus, like kasvina maida azvini. If, however, it's not so clear that it's an oinus, so it is negeya to be moisa maida even on zvini, and that's where it's negeya, kasvina maida azvini, and that's where it was negeya, nardoy is halach. Either way, for more information, ayin sham in the Rishonim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, hay matanta tamirta. Another very interesting halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda said, a matanta tmirta, you can't be goyva with. So what's a matanta tmirta? So this is a matana that somebody gives somebody else, but he does it when nobody's looking. So he does it shtila hate. Goes off to his friend, I want to give you a gift. This is a covert operation. Very choshev azach that he's giving him, but he does it shtila hate. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if somebody gives somebody a gift, loy magbinamba, in this situation, you wouldn't be able to be goyva. Meaning, the mekabel matana wouldn't be able to be teveya from the noisa matana. You promised me this gift. I want it. To the extent that it was done in a hidden way, in that case, it's not going to be okay. Now, the question is why? So the short answer is, if this was a legitimate matana, so you probably would have done it in a more, why are you like hiding? You know, shame sech, like what exactly are you worried about? So if you want to really give this person a gift, then why are you doing it the chadre chadarim? So something seems a little bit off. Okay, so what could be the reason that he's giving it to him if he doesn't mean it, right? So there's multiple possibilities, say the Rishonim. Number one, maybe he just wants to get a little teves hanah from this guy, a little gravitas, meaning he doesn't intend on ever giving him this matana, but at the same time, it's making him look good right now, promising you this grace of matana. So maybe that's why he's doing it. But there's another reason which is going to play itself out in the next Gemara, and that is, could be this person is going to sell this gift, quote unquote, to somebody else, and he may want to back out of that transaction at a later point. So how's he going to back out? It could be Moisa Maida, right? This is his way of being Moisa Maida. He's going to come later, he's going to say that it wasn't a real transaction. You know why? Because before I sold it to you, I already gifted it to somebody else. So these are some of the possibilities that maybe what's going through his mind. But the bottom line is, one other diyuk that the Rishonim all make, and that is the lashon of the Gemara is, so it sounds like he didn't physically give him the gift yet. Meaning if you physically handed him the gift and the person has it in his rishos, so then it's his. It's only talking about b'chai gavna where you have to be goyvit. So the halach is loy magbinava. So for example, if you wrote the shtar and Adam even signed on the shtar, so ordinarily, yeah, there's a legitimate bona fide shtar. If it's karka, it could be it's even nikness b'shtar. Loy magbinava because we don't trust that this is a real transaction. What's an example of a matanta? Rav Yosef said, the amalu l'sa'adi, this person told Adam to sign on the shtar and he said, zilu atmuru. Go, hide, the kissfule, and I want you to write it. But he told him specifically to hide when you write it. It's not something that could be done publicly. Dikad Amri, and some say, Amr Rav Yosef said, he doesn't have to say, go, hide. But even if he doesn't say, do it in public, meaning, you could do it in public, that would make it already a matanta tmirta. So according to the first pshat, what's a matanta tmirta, where he specifically tells him, hide. According to the second pshat, what's a matanta tmirta, where he didn't tell him to do it in public. Says the Gemara, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? Ike benayu, stama. Ike benayu would be in the event where it was stama, where he didn't say zilu atmuru vikisfule, but he also didn't not say, it was just stam. He didn't say anything. If you need him specifically to say zilu atmur in order for it to be matanta tmirta, so over here he didn't say that. If you need that, he shouldn't say tasteful b'shuku b'bar yasa b'tichtav alei l'may. So over here he didn't say that. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava said v'havya moidal l'chaverta. That although we just said now that a matanta tmirta is not a proper matana, but at the same time, it is a moidal l'chaverta. Meaning, in the event that this person now goes and he sells this property that he gave as a gift in a matana tmirta, so if that is not going to be a proper sale, and the reason is because he can always pull out the matanta tmirta and use that as his mesiras moida. Now, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because we just said that hay matanta tmirta, loy magbinava. Loy magbinava sounds like what? It sounds like it's not really a matana. Kamash b'lan, it's not a real matana. But at the same time, if you want to use that as a moida, that's something that you would be allowed to do. Zok de Gemara. So who said this? Rava said this. Right? It's a big qualification. This is the not such fine print. Hay matanta tmirta, loy magbinava. It just means that it's not a proper matana. But if you want to use this matana as a moida, that already you can't. So Rapapa said, Hada Rava, this that's being said over in the name of Rava, you should know. La beferish itmar, elo michlole itmar. Rava never said a meforish. However, it's something that the Bnei Yeshiva were medayik from something that Rava did say, but it was wrong. Because it's not muchach from that ma'is v'shoye kachoye, as we're about to see, that this is really what Rava meant. Ahugav, there was a person, the Ozal B'Kdusha Yitzo, who wanted to be Mekadesh Shanisha. So he goes over to a woman and he says, no. She said yes. However, not so fast. If you give me all your money, everything, then I'll be masking the Eloi. And if not, then you're going to have to find someone else to marry. He sat down And he started writing all his nechasim over to this woman. In the meantime, his son got wind of this. Asa break shishas, his oldest son comes. Amalani told him, "Nu, bahu gavra maita hava Allah, chmenocha mama zakin, what's going to be with me? You're giving over everything, you're not even leaving over anything for me." Amalu lisnahadi. So he went and he told Adam, he said, "Listen, my son, trust me, this is not as simple as it looks. Zilu atmuru be'ever yamino, go hide on the right side, the kisfule, and I want you to write it over to him." Meaning, enchanami, I want you to give it to my son, still a hide, because if this woman that I want to marry finds out about it, then obviously it's going to impact my marriage. But at the same time, do it still a hate and chanami. I have absolutely no issue with this. So the Gemara says, also the kami the rav. Word got out. Bekitzer, he gets married and she finds out that he has no nechasim. Everything's on his wife's name, his son's name, right? So in the meantime, they come together and like, what are you supposed to do now? So rav is presiding over this very interesting case. Amalahu and rav are passing like this. Loi markana, v'loi markana. Nobody gets anything. Meaning, the first person, the child doesn't get anything, and the wife doesn't get anything either. So let's think. The child doesn't get anything. Why? Because it's a matanta tmirta. That's easy. We just said, hay matanta tmirta le magvidimba. That you can't get. Why, however, doesn't the woman get anything? If the matanta tmirta is nishkeven kai matana, so he had nechasim, he got married, this was the tanai, so he has to give her everything. So the Gemara says, man, nechasim savar, the oilam that was in Rava's court, they assume mishum da havi moidoi lechaverta, that the reason that the isha also didn't get is because although the matanta tmirta was not a good matana to the son, but at the same time it served as a moida. Abba v'loyi, the Gemara says, that's not the case. Hasa muchacha milsa, the machmas unsohu de kasavla. Over there, the reason that didn't work is because it was muchach. It was muchach, the machmas unsohu de kasavla. It was very obvious that this person did not want to give this woman all his nechasim. He had no intentions of ever doing that. Now, he was going to get married, and he was going to fight it out afterwards. It seems like this is the way it was going to go down. But in this situation, when you know for a fact, there's an umdun in the muchach that he does not want to give away all his nechasim, then, this is the way the Rashbam explains it, the matanta tmirta does blaiba moida. And it's because of the Maida that nothing ends up going to this woman. Aval hoch over here, mar nichale de likni, umar loy nichale de likni. But in a regular classic case, lav dafka, the matanta tmirta is going to be effective even to be moisa Maida. So again, Rava Paskin the case where the matanta tmirta served as a Maida. So the Bnei Yeshiva assumed there are pop that Rava holds in all cases. That's the way it is. But Amar Rapapa said no. Because when Rava Paskin did, he only Paskin did in that case. In that case, with this whole matana of him giving all the chasim to the woman that he's being mekadesh is very, very shaky. Over there, the matan tetmer to serve as a maidah. But ordinarily, it would not be able to serve as a maidah. One last gemara, ibayluhu, stomamai. So we're going back to what the gemara really discussed in the beginning of this discussion, and that is, as it relates to a matanta tmirta, what if he didn't say anything? He didn't tell the Edom, go hide. But he also didn't say, like, go do it in public, right? He did it stama. What's the halacha? Ravina amalecha shinon. Ravina said that that's not a matanta tmirta. Thus, the laws of matanta tmirta are not in effect. It's a kosher ishtar. Ravashi amalecha shinon. Ravashi said, yeah, chayshinon. The hilchasan, the halacha is chayshinon. This will be considered a matanta tmirta. Exhale. So, as it relates to rid, I was thinking that being that from Daf Choftes of Bava Basra until the end of the Masechta, we are going to be learning Gemara Rashbam and not Gemara Rashmi like we usually learn, maybe it's kedai to talk a little bit about who the Rashbam was. So the Avodah now is hurrying on these very, very long monster Rashbams. So who was the Rashbam? So the Rashbam was born somewhere between the years 1080 and 1085 to the illustrious family of Rashi. So we know Rashi didn't have any sons. Rashi only had daughters. One of Rashi's daughters was married to a Yid by the name of Reb Meir, and this Reb Meir had four sons. His oldest son was the Rashbam. His second son was the Rivam. His third son you might have heard of. He's known to us as Rabbeinu Tam. And his fourth and his youngest son was known as Reb Shloimeh. He was named after his Zayda Rashi. Incidentally, this Yidra Meir also had a daughter, at least one daughter, who had a son that you also might have heard of. He's known as the Ri. The Nirluri, that's the Ri. But the Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. Now, Rashi was Nifter in the year 1105. So the Rashbam was born somewhere between the years 1080 and 1085. That would mean that the Rashbam was somewhere between the ages of 20 and 25 when Rashi was Nifter, which means that the Rashbam knew Rashi. And the truth is, he knew him very well. In fact, there are many, many Mekairis and Rishonim where the Rashbam is talking to Rashi. So we know for a fact that the Rashbam knew Rashi. The Rashbam was a Talmud of Rashi. Now this is interesting because this is in contrast to Rabbeinu Tam, who was much, much younger than the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Tam was born in the year 1100, which means he was 5 years old when his grandfather Rashi passed away, which means he didn't know him. So Rabbeinu Tam didn't know Rashi. Rashbam, his older brother, was about 20 years older than him. He knew Rashi very, very well. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam used to consider himself a Talmud of the Rashbam because the Rashbam was much older than him. And when he was younger, he learned by the Rashbam. But the point is, the Rashbam knew his Zayda, Rashi, very, very well. It's more than that. We have a tshuva from the Marshal. And this is in Shailos HaTshuvos Marshal. It's in Simen Chof Tes, where the Marshal brings a Messiah that he had in the Shalshalas HaTorah that traces itself back to the Maram in Rutenberg. So really, this Messiah, although it's the Marshal talking, it comes from the Maram in Rutenberg. And in the middle, he says as follows, U'bishnas tof tof samachet, that's 1105, Lemesburim, Niftar Ner Yisrael Rashi. The Ner Yisrael Rashi passed away, U'malach acharov Rab Shmuel Bar Meir. And who became the next Melech, quote unquote? It was Rashbam. It was Reb Shmuel Bar Meir. So the Rashbam was a very, very big deal. In fact, on many levels, he took over for his Zayda Rashi. And the truth is that the Rashbam, really, if you think of his avoda in terms of his output and what he produced as far as Sfarim go, he very much mirrored his Zayda Rashi. The Rashbam wrote a Pirish on Tanakh. The Rashbam wrote a Pirish on Shas. The truth is, we have Rashbam above a Basra. Is there Rashbam on other Masechtas? We have it in Arvi Psachim, and we have it for the majority of Masechtas Bava Basra. The Arai is from Rishonim that the Rashbam wrote on other Masechtas as well. Now, we don't have Rashi in Bava Basra, but maybe we have the Rashbam in Bava Basra. But the truth is that the Rashbam didn't only write in Bava Basra. The Rashbam, like the Zayda Rashi, he followed in his Derech, and he went, and he wrote on many other areas as well. Meaning, he was a great Talmudist, in the same vein and in the same fashion that his Zayda Rashi was. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam, in his Akdama to Sefer HaYosher, so it's a very, very short Akdama, and he talks a little bit about changing your soys. It's like an interesting Akdama, but that's what he talks about. This is Rabbeinu Tam's Akdama to Sefer HaYosher. The whole thing is three paragraphs. And he says as follows. He says that I observed my Zayda Rashi, Heves Ksofen. And Rashi very often changes girsois and gemaras. Kiyodua. But when Rashi changes the girs in the gemara, he said he would never change it in the gemara itself because he held that the messiah of the gemara was halig and he didn't want to chapel with it. Now, he felt that if sometimes he just didn't understand the girsa and he felt the girsa was wrong, so in his gillion, in his quote-unquote kuntres, he would go and he would write it the way he thought it was. But he would never chepa with the Etzem Gilyan. Then he talks a little bit about this Indian, and he says as follows, quote, V'shara le'mari l'Rabbeinu Shmuel achi, the Eivisha should be moichel, my brother Rabbeinu Shmuel, ki al acha shehigi Rabbeinu Shloima, because for every one time that my Zayda Rashi changed the Gersa, higi Yehu Esra. For every dollar that Rashi put down, Rashbam put down 20. Right, literally 20 times the amount. Not like the Zayda. The Zayda would never chepa with the actual Sfarim. He said, oh, but my brother, the Rashbam, he did. I'm taking one thing out of this line, and that is Rabbeinu Tam is putting the Rashbam in the same breath as Rashi. Think about that. Rashi, and you're putting Rashbam, 120, he did it this way, he did it that way. Rashi, the Rashbam. The Rashbam was Malach Acher Rashi, and the Rashbam, in many, many ways, he followed in the Derech of Rashi. But I'll tell you something very interesting. It's a fascinating observation, and I heard this from Rabbi Ephraim Kandervogel, who we've quoted in the past, and I had the opportunity to discuss this with him in detail on Thursday. preparing for this Raid Bite. And I also want to give a shout out to Nachi Weinstein, who helped me with this. We actually went through this very much together. And Rabbi Kannerfogel, he said something fascinating. He said that if you're familiar with the Rashbam's Pirush Al HaTorah, it's very, very interesting. So I don't know if the Olam is familiar with this Pirush Al HaTorah. It's very, very bekitzer, right? Which is interesting enough because it's in sharp contrast to how Meirich the Rashbam is in his Pirush Al HaShas. But it's a fascinating thing. And that is, the Rashbam, in the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev, so he explains a little bit what his MO was when he sat down to write his Pirush Al HaTorah. So he says as follows. It's on the words Elo told us Yaakov, right in the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev. Yaskilu v'yavinu oyavei seichel, mashalimdunu rabbi seinu. So oyavei seichel means what? People that love intellectualism. So any person that has an appreciation for seichel, yaskilu v'yavinu, they should try to understand. It's not so simple to grasp. But yaskilu v'yavinu what I'm about to tell you, and really what Chazal taught us. Ki ein mikra yoytzi midei pshuta. Right, sounds like the most obvious thing in the world. Abuzokter Hashmam, yaskilu v'yavinu oyavei seichel mashalimdunu razal. And that is ein mikra yoytzi midei pshuta, because if you don't try to understand this, and if you're not ma'ayin heytev, it's one of the deepest things in the world. Talk about an oxymoron. Ein mikra yoytzi midei pshuta is literally one of the sides of satir. It's true. Af. Says the Rashbam, ki ikra shal teira basla lamdeinu uloi dienu. Premises apshat vagodes halochis vadinam aydei arichas haloshe. Even though we know that the ikra of the Torah is to teach us all the halochis and all the dinam. Vayidei shloisha mishtai midas shal Rabbi Eliezer b'nei shal Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Vayidei shloisha esrei midas shal Rabbi Yishma. Vaharichoyne mitoichas yidusam nisasku lintois achre adroshois sheheinik. And the truth is, being that that's really what the ikur of the Torah is, it's to teach us all the halachas and all the dinim and all the Torah Shabbat and all the chazals. So all the rishonim who were chassidim, they were nisasku lintos achar adrashas, because they understood the truth, which is shehein ikur. Umitoich kach, and because of that, says the Rashbam, loy hurgalu ba'oimik pshutay shal mikra. They didn't become ruggle to understand. In the words of the Rashbam, oimik pshutay shal mikra. By the way, that seems to be a phrase that Rashbam coined. And that is oimik pshutay shal mikra. Ulefisha amru chachamim, and I'll tell you why. Because the chachamim said, it's Gemara brachas chav chesam in days, al tarbu b'nechem b'yigoyim, don't let your children learn too much Tanakh. V'gam amru, Gemara bav mitzi, lamed gimel lamed alef, ha'oisik b'mikra, someone that learns mikra, mida v'ena mida. It's good, but no, ha'oisik b'talmid. But if you learn Havayis Tavayi V'Rava, Ein Locha Midah Gedoy L'Mizu. Umitoich Kach, it's because of this. Loi Hurglu Kol Kach B'Pshutan Shal Mikrois. So the Chevra, they weren't so ruggle in understanding B'Pshutan Shal Mikro. Ukedarmina B'Mesach T'Shabbos. And he says, I'll demonstrate. It's a Gemara Shabbos Samach Gimel Amin Aleph. Rav Kahana V'Amayra talking. Havina Bar Tamni Shnin. He said, I was 18 years old. V'Gersin Kula Talmudah. I knew the entire Talmud. V'Loi Hava Yodana De'Ein Mikro Yoytzim Edei Pshutah. But I did not know Ein Mikro Yoytzim Edei Pshutah. So this is a well-known Gemara. In our Chabura, we quote this Gemara a lot. But what does it even mean? You're 18 years old, you know Kol HaTorah Kula, literally, but you didn't know Ein Mikra Yoytzei Midei Pshutah. There's something called Oimik Pshutah Shal Mikra. And Rav Kahana said, I knew the entire Talmud. I could be mefalful in everything, but I didn't dehear this inyan of Oimik Pshutah Shal Mikra, and I didn't know this idea of Ein Mikra Yoytzei Midei Pshutah. And then he says as follows, V'gam Rabbeinu Shloimeh, Avi Imi, my mother's father, Rashi, Meir Einei Goylo, Shepirish Toir Neviyah Muxuvim, Nosan Lev Lefarish Pshuta Shal Mikra. He dedicated a tremendous amount of energy to be Mefarish the Torah al Pi Pshuta Shal Mikra. The Afani, Shmuel, Ben Rameir Chasonai, I Shmuel, the son of Rameir, Rashi's son-in-law, Zeichet Tzadik Levroch, Nisvakachti Imoi. He said, I had a Vikuach with my Zeda, Ulefanov, and I had a vikuach in his presence, it sounds like with other people. V'hoidli, and the Zayda was moided to me. Sh'ilu hoyu loy pnai, if he had time, hoyu tzorich lasis perushim acherim. He would have to be mefarish, the Torah of Iksav, in other ways, l'fi ha-pshotos ha-mischadshim b'chol yoyim, based on the pshutai shal mikra that's mischadish every day, because really pshutai shal mikra is a whole matzav, and as much as Rashi dedicated so much to write pshutai shal mikra, nisvakachti imay ulefonov, v'hoidli, and he was moita, she'ilu hayu le'pnai, he would have added and maybe even done things a little bit differently. This hakdama that the Rashbam mysteriously put in the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev is really the introduction, it's the mavli to understanding the Rashbam's Pirush al HaTorah. The Rashbam wrote a Pirush al HaTorah, but his Pirush al HaTorah is very, very unique. It's literally Leiroi Zeh Keroi Zeh. It's on an island kemat onto its own. And that is, the way he explains the Torah Shebe Ksav is based on Pshutei Shel Mikra. Now, you'll tell me, didn't Rashi do that? Isn't Rashi's Pirush al HaTorah based on Pshutei Shel Mikra? So, to a certain extent, yes, but anyone that's ever learned Chumash Rashi knows that so much of Rashi is based on Bereishis Rabbah, and it's based on Mechiltes, and it's based on Sefriz, and it's based on Teres Kayanim's Kiyodua. The Rashbam's Pirish is 100% Pshutei Shel Mikra. And it sounds a little bit that when the Rashbam says, Nisfakachti Imoy, Ulefana, Vahoydali Shemoy, it's this Inyan. Because really, you have to go through the Rashbam's Pirish al HaTorah to have a better appreciation of what was this Vikuach. What exactly was this debate? What exactly is going on? Now, just to mention a few dugmais, some less dramatic, some maybe a little bit more dramatic, in the Rashbam's Pirush al HaTorah, to appreciate a little bit what he means when he says there's something called Oymek Pshutei Shel Mikra, and what's so unique about the way the Rashbam was mefarish. The most famous one is right in the beginning of the Torah. The pasuk says, Vayere Vayivoyke Yoymechot. Now, everyone knows that, what does that mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first day, there was Erev, which means there was night, there was Boiker, there was day, Yoyim Echad, Brochis, Daf Beis Amar Aleph, it's literally the first Daf in Shas, where the Gemara says that Yidin, the day, follows the night. So, it starts at night, then it goes to the day. 24-hour Jewish day starts from Shkia, Rabbeinu Tam, pun intended, and it goes through the following day. But this is the way the Rashbam explains the Pasuk. Vayihi erev vayihi voiker. Ein ksiv kan vayihi laila vayihi yoim. It doesn't say there was night and there was day. Ela vayihi erev. What does that mean? Sheherev yoim rishon. What it means is that the first day ended the shika ha'ar, the sunset. What does it mean vayihi voiker? Bokroi shalaila she'ola amud ha'shachar. Vayihi Boker means, not it was day, the day passed, but Vayihi Boker means that the sun rose and it became day again. Harei Hushlam Yoyim Echad, and that was the conclusion of the first day. So says the Rashbam, what does it mean Vayihi Vayihi Boker? Not it was night and it was day, just the opposite. It was day and it was night. Vayihi Erev, the sun set. Vayihi Boker, the sun rose. Oh, as soon as the sun rose the second day, so at that point, the day ended. What do you mean the day ended? It goes night and day. So Dr. Rashbam, no, it's day and night. And he says it's muchach that way. Because it says, Vayihi erev, Vayihi boker. It doesn't say, Vayihi laila, Vayihi yoy. And he says, really, in his cheshbon of the way he explains the psukim, first Hashem said, Yehi or, and only afterwards is V'lachoshach kara laila. So you see, or came before laila. Now, even though it says V'choshach al pnei soim, but that the Rishayim already say was a different choshach. So first it's Yehi or, and then afterwards it's V'lachoshach kara laila. So in the say that Eibishter created the world day and night, that's Vayyere Vayyivoyker. So what's 24 hours in the Jewish day, says the Rashbam? It's day and then it's night. Now, everyone knows that's not true. It's not emes. Now, in case you think for 1 second, if you have a hearer, ben benoishal hearer, that, you know, maybe the Rashbam is saying something really provocative here. Of course he's not. But, again, v'hoitzi miliban, if you look at the Rashbam, later here in the narrative of Bria Sa'olam, so the Pasuk says, Yehi ma'oirois, berki ha'shamayim, lehabdu ben eim aven alaylo, v'hoyu lo'oises ulu mayadim, ulu yamin v'shanim. So Dr. Rashbam, ulu yamin, sharei mitzeis ha'koychovim, atzeis ha'koychovim, yoim echad. What does it mean, Yomim? How do the Meiris play into the day? Because that's the day. From Tzeis HaKechavim till Tzeis HaKechavim, that's the day. So the Rashbam knows what the Jewish day is. He's not debating that. Oh, in Pshutei Shel Mikra, there's something called Oymik Pshutei Shel Mikra. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker, that's not what it means. Another very subtle example. The Pasuk says that if somebody gets married, he has a Chiyuv Sher, Kesus Va'oyna. She'era, Kesusa, Ve'oynasa, right? So Dr. Rashbam, what's She'era? Mizoynas. Kesusa, Malbushim. The Oinasa Beis Dira. Lafia Pshat. It says, what does Oinasa have to do with a Beis Dira? Lashin Ma'in. It's a Ma'in. What's a Ma'in L'shiftecha? A Ma'in is a dwelling place. Says Rashbam, what the Torah is saying is that a person that's married has to provide his wife with three things. You have to give her food, you have to give her clothing, and you have to give her a shelter, a roof on top of her head. Makes perfect sense. Ksheir Ksusav Oinasa. It's my reading, but it's connected to Chazal. It's the Gemara's in Ksubis. Everybody knows. Oina is Oina, right? So Einotzen is a dwelling place. The Teretz is something called Oymek Pshut Eishel Mikra. And that's what the Rashbam is coming to explain. I'll give you a few more dramatic examples. Parshas Vayeshev. We know that the whole episode with Yosef HaTzadik happened. Now, if you take a look at the Pesukim are a little bit ambiguous. The Pasuk says as follows. Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, I want you to go try to find the brothers. Right? They were in Shechem. Hayom Yisrael, Yosef Aleich, Hecha Roim B'Shechem, L'cho Ve'eshlochacha Aleim. Of course, I'm going to go. Either way, he's trying to find them. He doesn't know where they are. The Malach Gavriel. He tells him that I heard them saying, Nelcho dosoin. The Pasuk says the brother saw Yosef coming from the Vatans. And as he was coming a little bit closer, they got together and they decided that they're going to kill him. Let's kill him. After we kill him, we'll throw him into one of the pits. We're going to say that a wild beast ate him. We're going to see let's see already what's going to be with his dreams. Ruvain was there. He heard what happened. He said, so what's the point in doing that? Okay, so what did they do? So they took him, they threw him into the pit. In the meantime, they sat down to break bread. They pick up their eyes. And they say, they see a caravan of Yishmaelim. They're coming from Gilad and they're heading towards Mitzrayim. So Yehuda tells his brothers, "Ma betza ki narig esachinu v'chisinu as damay luchuvenim kureinu la Yishmaelim." I have a good idea. Why don't we sell him to the Yishmaelim? V'yodenu al tibay. There's no reason for us to touch him. Ki achinu b'sareinu hu, because he's one of our brothers. I don't think we should kill him. Let's just sell him to the Yishmaelim. It's not a good idea. Says the pasuk. This is the next pasuk. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Vayavru anoshim midyanim soicherim. Anoshim midyanim, that were merchants, came. Vayamshichu, vayalu es Yosef min abar. And they picked Yosef out of the pit. Vayimkru es Yosef la Yishmaelim. And they sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim. Ve'esrim kesef. Vayaviu es Yosef mitzroimo. And they brought Yosef to Mitzrayim. So the brothers said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. And they said, okay, sounds like a good idea. Vayavru anoshim midyanim. In the meantime, Anoshim Midyanim came. Vayimshechu, vayalu es Yosef midabar. They took Yosef out of the pit, and they sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim, and they brought Yosef to Mitzrayim. So, Rashi, that this is the way you have to read the pasuk. The brothers saw the Yishmaelim come, and they said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. In the meantime, they saw another caravan, another whole chavraya coming, and they were Midyanim. In the meantime, vayimshechu, Bnei Yaakov Zokt Rashi, Es Yosef and Abar. They sold them to the Yishmaelim like they said they were going to sell them to. The reason we mentioned the Midyanim coming into the picture is because the Yishmaelim sold them to the Midyanim, and then the Midyanim sold them to the Mitzrayim. And that's the ends up in Mitzrayim. So who sold Yosef? The brothers. Everyone knows that. Who did the brothers sell Yosef to? To the Yishmaelim. That's what they said at Lechatchila. Lechuvenim Kerenu LeYishmaelim. Why are we talking about the Midyanim all of a sudden? Because the Yishmaelim sold them to the Midyanim. Vayaviru es Yosef Mitzrayim. That's because the Midyanim already sold them to the Egyptians, and that's how they end up going to Mitzrayim. But it's very dachok and pshat, right? Because the pasuk says, Vayavru anoshim Midyanim soicharim. Vayamshichu vayalu es Yosef Minabar. But Rashi says, Vayamshichu is referring back to the brothers. But if you take a look at the Rashbam says, not what happened. He says, you know what happened? What happened was they sat, they put Yosef in the pit. He says, why are we going to kill him for it? Throw him into the pit, no problem. They sat down to eat bread, they're having a picnic. Yosef is in the pit, and they are eating. Now the Rashbam says they didn't want to eat right next to Yosef. It's like Loyag Larosh, right? So they moved away, and they're far away from the pit, and they're eating. In the meantime, from the Vatins, they see Yishmaelim coming. They say, perfect. But they were far away. Before they had a chance to go take Yosef out of the bar and sell Yosef to the Yishmaelim, you know what happened? Vayavru anoshim midyanim soicharim. Anoshim midyanim come. They see a pit. They look down. Oh, wow. Looks like a very capable, young, strong teenage kid. They kidnap Yosef. Yamshichu, they pull Yosef out of the bar. Vayalu es Yosef min habar. Vayimkru es Yosef liyishmael. They sell him to Yishmael. Zokter Hashmam, the brothers never sold Yosef. The whole Mechiras Yosef never happened. They never sold him. They threw him into the pit. They had a machshava rosh she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for Lamaisa. But Lamaisa, they never sold him. You want to know who sold Yosef? The Midianim are the ones. Is it read the Pasuk? Vayavru anoshim Midianim soicharim. Vayam shichu vayalu es Yosef min habar. Vayim kuras Yosef al Yishmaelim. It's pshutai shel mikra. It's not even Oymik Pshuta Shomikra. It's Mamish Pshuta Shomikra. Rashi says, Vayim Shichu B'nei Yaakov. But Dr. Ashbam, that's not what the Pasuk is saying. If you're asking me, the Pasuk is saying that they themselves, later Yosef says, Hashem Ocharte Moisi. So he said because they were goyim, and they not thrown him into the pit, it would have never happened. But this mitigates in an incredible way the whole Mechiras Yosef plays a huge role in Jewish history. Hasaruge Malchus, etc., etc., etc. Oh, but it comes out, Zokter Ashmam, in Pshutei Shom Mikra, I don't see in the Pasuk where the brothers sold him. I think the Midianim are the ones that sold him. I'll tell you another interesting one. On the topic of Mechiras, we know that Esav sold the Bechira to Yaakov. What did he sell the Bechira for? And is it Dadoshe, right? Lentils. Halitaini nomen o'odem o'odem. Is that right? Read the Pasuk. That's what it sounds like. Esav comes back from the field. He's Oyef. And he sees that Yaakov is manning the grill. I mean, that's what it sounds like. And he says, Halitaini nomen o'odem o'odem azek ki oyev anoichi al king koresh mayedoy. Yaakov says, Nichro kayom es b'chayros chali. No problem. And then he gives him the Nezid Anoshe. Dr. Ashbam, you think Esav sold the Bechayrif and the Zid Adnoshim? That's not what happened. Listen to the Lashon of the Rashbam. Michro Kayoim, Toloima La'alter, Miyad Mechor Li Chelik Bechayroscha, Haroi Lucha, Bamomoin She'etein Lucha, I'll pay you for it. No problem. Yaakov tells Esav, name me a price, I'll write you a check. The Achakach, but afterwards, Etein Lucha HaMichel, I'm going to give you lentils, Le'edus Ulikiyum. As an edus, kimoishem otzinu by Lavan, vayoichlu shama lagal. They ate over there by the gal, right? Why did they eat? Likiyum bris, they love him, Yaakov. And he says it again, vayimker es b'chayrosay bedamim. He did it bedamim. The acha came, v'yaakov nosam le'esav, kiminik bnei adam, likiyum davar. You think he sold it for the nezid adoshin? That can't be in Pshutai Shom Mikra, Zokter Ashbam. What he sold it for was, he sold it for money. He sold it for Gehated the money. You want to know what happened? Yeah, afterwards, this is what happened. I'll give you another example. The Pasuk says in Parshas Baal Oyscha that Miriam and Aharon spoke Lashon Hara. That was the topic of Daf Lamed Tes. Spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatadabi Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al oydois ha'isha ha'kushas ha'shalokach ki isha kushas lokach. Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem aloi gam banu diber v'yishma Hashem. This is the whole parasha of Nevuas Moshe. Hashem reacts. What? Nevuas Moshe, you can't compare Moshe Rabbeinu to the Shara Nevim. So what was the Lashon Hara? Right, this is the Lashon Hara of Miriam. We have to remember Miriam, the Chafetz Chaim says, one of the Sheish Schiris because of the Chaimer of Lashon Hara. What was the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke? So again, it's so cryptic. Vatadaber Miriam v'aharim b'Moshe, al oidois ha'isha ha'kushes ashalakach, ki isha kushes lakach. V'yomru ha'rak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, alay gam banu diber v'yishma Hashem. So Rashi, quoting a Chazal, it's a Sefri, Reb Nosson the Tana, talking, he said as follows. He said that what happened was, when Eldad and Medad started having Nevuah, so Tzipporah, Ishes, Moshe, heard what happened. So she went to the wives of Eldad and Medad and says, listen, I know that you're very proud that your husband's on a Nevi'im, but I'm telling you, snishtaz agres aglik. Said, why? Because my husband's a Navi, and when my husband became a Navi, he was Bayrish from Derech Eretz, and you can see it's going to be what's going to end up happening about you. So they heard Aharon and Miriam that Moshe was Bayrish from Derech Eretz. They were very taken aback. So Miriam goes to Aharon, he says, you heard what happened? I just heard, because right, this happened in the Esrus Noshim. So Miriam heard about it. What does that mean? It means that Moshe was married to Tzipporah, and now he separated from Tzipporah. That's the Isha HaKushas HaShalokach, Ki Isha HaKushas Lokach. Now Rashi mutches a little bit with this. Pshat. He says, because the Pasuk sounds like Miriam's telling Aaron something about the fact that Moshe married an Isha HaKushas. Right? We know what that means. So what is this story have to do with Isha Kushas? First of all, what does Tzipporah have to do with being an Isha Kushas? which is not an Isha Kushis necessarily. Kush, by the way, is Ethiopia, right? So where exactly does she become an Isha Kushis? So Rashi says that Tzipora was very beautiful. She was such a Yafas Mara and Yafas Tayer that just like everyone knows that a Kushis is a Kushis, everyone knew that she was a Yafas Mara. It was something that was not disputable. And that's why she's referred to as an Isha Kushis. And what was the Lashon Hara? We didn't see that in the Pasuk. Ashi Isha Kushis Lakach. Kilo in the Avar, in the past, he was married to her. But now already he was Megarasher, or Avdavki, he was Megarasher. That's a big discussion. But at the very least, he separated from her, and he's not being Noig anymore, Kaminik Derech Eretz. That's the way Rashi learns the Sugya. But if you take a look at the Rashbam, Rashbam says differently. The Rashbam says, what does that mean? Shehimi b'shpachas chom. Asha lokach, ki isha kushas lokach. Ki dechsib edivri ha-yomim, the Moshe Rabbeinu shemalach be'eretz kush arbaim shana, v'lokach malka achas, v'loy shachav ima, k'moshe kosov sham, v'heim lo yadu k'shedibru boy, sh'loy niskakla. V'zeu ikrab shutai. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was how old by the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's 80 years old, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was vayigdal, hayeled, and he ran away. There's a huge gap in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time that he becomes Vayigdal, I don't know, is that Bar Mitzvah, whatever that is, until he's 80, we don't really know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's a Messiah that for 40 of those years, he was a king in Ethiopia. He was a Melech Kush. And Miriam heard, she didn't know about this. All of a sudden she hears that during those 40 years, her brother Moshe was married to some Ethiopian princess. And she runs to Aaron, but Miriam Aaron but Moshe. You know what I just heard? You're not going to believe it. Says the Rashbam, if Ki'isha Kushas Lakach is referring to Tzipora, everyone knows he was married to Tzipora. Why is that newsworthy? No, this is newsworthy. No one knew about it. This, like, and so to tell you, it's true. It's not what happened. Now, the Rashbam says that this Messiah was v'lokach malka achas v'loy shochav ima. And that they didn't know, and had they known that, they wouldn't have said what they said. But this was like a big piece of Lashon Hara. That's what's going on over here. You're not going to believe it. I heard Moshe Rabbeinu was married to this Egyptian, to this Ethiopian. And this is what's going on over here. Now, how does it chime with v'yoymru harak ach b'moshe dibur Hashem? It's like, Rashbam, that's the second piece of Lashon Hara. There's two Lashon Haras going on over here. Again, we're talking about Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. But this is a separate Indian. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispoir aleinu v'alez anovi. Halegam banu diber Hashem, we're also neviim, and the response of the Eibishter is to the Sefer. You're telling, Isha Kushas Lakach, Loishachavimah. And as it relates to this, you're comparing your nevuah to the nevuah of Moshe. But again, this is the Rashbam, and Oymik Pshutay Shal Mikra, going Keneged Rav Nosson in the Sefri. He's saying, I have a different mahalach of exactly how this played itself out. One last example, and that is in the parasha of the Mon. Right, so the Pasuk says, Vayiru b'nei Yisro, Vayomer Isha Lachin, Monu, ki lo yodu mahu. If you look at the Rishonim, from Rashi to Evan Ezra, all the Rishonim Mucha, what does this word manhu mean? Man. What's the shayrish of the word man? Again, Vayir B'nei Yisrael, they see the man for the first time. And one man tells his friend, manhu, it's man. Why they say that? Because they didn't know what it is. So because they didn't know what it is, so they just refer to it as man. So Rashi says, man is miloshin hachonas mazoin. If you look at all the Rishonim, they're trying to find different words in Nach that somehow fit the shnurish of the word man. Says Rashbam, you want to know what the word man means? In Lashon Kodesh? Nothing. It's an Egyptian word. They spoke Egyptian, says Rashbam. They just left Mitzrayim, right? That's what these chevra are. This is the Yoitz from Mitzrayim. So in Egyptian, they turned to each other and they said, what is this? What is this in Egyptian is man. That's the pasuk. Vayiru b'nei Yisrael, vayoymru ishnel achiv manhu. You know why they said manhu? Ki lo yadu mahu. And when you don't know what something is in Egyptian, you don't say mahu, that's Lashon Kodesh. What you say is manhu, because that's mitzrish. And that's why they said manhu. They're pashut speaking mitzrish. Nobody says this. You know why nobody says this? I'm going to tell you why nobody says this. Because everybody knows Chazal say that the Yidden left Mitzrayim because of the schus of three things. One of them is Shloishinu es Lashoinam. So how could Rashbam say they were talking Egyptian? It's blatantly connected Chazal. The Teretz is, if Oymik Pshutay Shal Mikra, if Ayer Vayik, it could be day and then night, and Shekhsus Vayoymik can be food, clothing, and shelter, then you know what? Could be the Yidden was speaking Egyptian also. It's a Peledigazach. And that's the oimik of the Rashbam Shtikl Torah in Parshas Vayeshev, where the Rashbam says that Rab Kahana said, I was 18 years old, I knew Kala Torah Kula, but I didn't know Eimik Yoytzim B'dei Pshutai. Doesn't mean he didn't know Eimik Yoytzim B'dei Pshutai, but he didn't have this something called oimik Apshat. And the Rashbam himself says, Nisvakachti Imoy Ulefonov, from his grace Nezeid Rabbeinu Shloim Rashi. And this was a conversation that he had with him. And the emes is, it's a little bit of a tricky zach. It's taken not so easy to understand. Incidentally, I do want to give a shout out. There's a two-edition Rashbam al Torah, two-volume edition Rashbam al Torah that was put out by Hitzas Chorif, that machon, which is absolutely incredible. The footnotes were written by Meir Lakshin, who, by the way, was interviewed by Nachi on his Farm Chatter podcast. So if you want to hear his interview about Rashbam al Torah, it's very, very interesting. But regardless, he did an incredible job. And he brings out this Indian of Oimek Pshutei Shel Mikra. He's a world leading expert in all things Rashbam. He's written on the Rashbam in Lashon HaKodesh. He's written in English. But the bottom line is that the Rashbam was a leader. He was a revolutionary in this inyan of Pshuta Shel Mikra. And why is it so interesting? This brings us back to Rabbi Kannefogel. And that is that we know in Masayra there were certain chachamim that were very oisik in Pshuta Shel Mikra. We know there were a lot of chachamim, ruba of chachamim, that are oisik and medrashei chazal. These are all our gedolim, all our tzaddikim. But you have Rashbam, who on the one hand is mamish apirish rashi kimat. Like the Marshal said, that kishenifter rashi malach achar of Shmuel Meir is enikol. And on the one hand, he's one of the great Talmudists of all time. He's one of the Bali Toises. Every time Toises is Rabbeinu Shmuel, it's referring to the Rashbam. And at the same time, he's the one of Oymek Pshutei Shel Mikra that's being mefarish psukim, literally not like Chazal. Now you have to know what that means. Again, it's above my pay grade. I'm not sure what it means. But there's some Indian of Elu Velu Diver Lekim Chayim where there's something called Oymek Pshutei Shel Mikra. But the fact that you could have one tzaddik who's both, it's fascinating because it doesn't jive so well. Oh, but the bottom line is, this is going to be the Rashbam. And the Rashbam was so multifaceted. I mean, if you think about it, on the one hand, he's a mefarish like Rashi. He's one of the Bali Tosfos. And he's a master of Pshutei Shel Mikra. It's three different hats. It's three different titles. It's three different sugyas. This is who the Rashbam is. But just to end with one hergish, and that is, we have Rashbam above a Basra, right? So why do we have Rashbam and Bava Basra? Pashut, we have Rashbam and Bava Basra because we don't have Rashi from Daf Chav Tes and on in Bava Basra. You know, there's full Masechtis where we don't have Rashi, right? There's no Rashi on the Dorim. We don't have Rashi on Nozer. We don't have Rashi on Me'ila. Incidentally, the Makarta that is, the Gulian Ashas, Rav Kidegen, Nozer, Daf Beza, Menalev, he brings from the Chidon, Hashem Magdoilim, who brings from the Yad Malachi, that Rashi on the Dorim, Nozer, and Me'ila is nit Rashi. Incidentally, he brings in a Nozer Daf Beis. We once spoke out as a Ha'ara, why did Rav Kidega wait until Nozer Daf Beis to ask this, to write this on the side of his Gemara? Why didn't he write it on the side of his Nadarim Daf Beis? Nadarim comes before Nozer. Kasha Famaisa. But the bottom line is that comes from the Chidah, Neshem Agdoilim, Neshem Diyad Malachi. The Chaykrim say that Rashi on Tainus could be is not Rashi, and that Rashi Moikotin, Yaakov Chaim Sofer has a big Arichas on, Rashi Moikotin is not Rashi. Rashi on Hoirius, we once spoke out, Rav Ruvim Margolis, in his Netzaitzeh, right in the beginning of Hoirius, says that it's clear to him that Rashi and Hoirius is not Rashi. You know what his Raya is? His Raya is because every single time in Shas that Rashi has a Laz, where he translates a word, he translates it into French. He says in Hoirius, there's two Lazei Rashi, and the words are Latin. They're not French. It's clear it wasn't Rashi. Rashi didn't speak Latin. Rashi always has his Laz in French. He says he thinks it was the Rivan, because the Rivan did speak Latin. This is zikr above my pay grade. But the bottom line is, see, have Rashi in certain Masechtos, you don't have Rashi. But if you think about it, why would there be no Rashi in Nedarim and Nozer? So it makes perfect sense. We know the Goyim didn't learn Nedarim and Nozer, right? We have red bites on this. Why would there be no Rashi in Mike Cotton? Sef Chassidim says, not so pasha to learn Mike Cotton. Al Sve'ilu Megalchim, Ki Yadua. People used to fast before they learned Mike Cotton. Why is there no Rashi in Tainus? I don't know, maybe it's not a Yeshiva Shemesechta. I'm not 100% sure. Here he is. Zichen not a Yeshiva Shemesechta. Oh, but Bava Basra, it's a Pella. How is there no Rashi on Bava Basra? It's mamash a pella for Nazar, right? The fact that there's no Rashi in Bava Basra is a pella. Like, what happened to it? Unless it got lost, right? Unless it got lost. But the emes is, I'll tell you something nifladik. That is, I saw this in the Hakdama to the Sefer Sri Deyesh. So who was the Baal Sri Deyesh? Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Zecher Tzadik Levrach, he was a great Goyen who survived the war, to Yidu, he was in the Schweiz. He was a tremendous, tremendous Goyen. And he was once giving shir on Bava Basra. And he said that the Chokrim don't know where Rashi is buried. Some say he was in Troy. Some say in Worms. The Chokrim don't know where he was buried. But he said, if you ask a yeshiva bacher where Rashi is buried, the yeshiva bacher is going to be able to tell you. He said, you know where Rashi is buried? Bava Basra daf chav tes amar aleph. Because if you look at the Gemara says, Kan Meis Rashi. Now the emes is, the Makar to Kan Meis Rashi, it comes from the Pizarro Shas, 1510, Gershon Sansino. Leave this for the collectors. But the bottom line is that you want to know where he was buried. He was buried in Bava Basra daf chav tes amar aleph. This is where he's buried. He's buried in Cheskes Habatim. And the emes is, he said that this is where Rashi's buried, but this is also where Rashi's alive. You know why? Because what happens? Kan Meis Rashi, and who takes over? His enekel took over, Rav Shmuel ben Meir. And the fact that Rashi had an enekel to Rashbam, who's able to go and be memala mekoymoy of his zayda, and he's able to write a pirish, mamish to go betarkei avoysof, azas chus, to be on the level of Rashi, and to have an enekel that the marshals made all of, b'shem Ram Rutenberg, that was molech achrov, and he took over this shteller, who could be zoichet to this? It's an unbelievable thing for him to be zoichet. And the emes is the Bali Toisvis, right? The most of the Toisvis that we have today come from the French Bali Taisis, right? We know there were the French Bali Taisis and the German Bali Taisis, but come out, all the Taisis that we have on the side of the Gemara are the French Bali Taisis. And who's the first generation French Bali Taisis? It's Rabbeinu Tam, it's Rashbam. So Kan Meis Rashi, you want to know where Rashi's buried? Rashi's buried in Bava Basra Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph. Or in Bava Basra Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph, you see that Rashi is Loi Meis. So I had planned to say this Sunday. That was the goal. Sunday or maybe Matzah Shabbos. I wasn't 100% sure. And then Nachi texted me on Thursday. He says, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Sunday is Rashi's Yartzai. Chav Tes Tamas. Tonight, right now, is Rashi's Yartzai. Rashi was nifta Erev Rishchoydesh of Kan Meis Rashi. How appropriate that Rashi's Yartzai falls out. Because in this cycle of Daf Yoimi, you feel like it's coming to an end, right? In this cycle of Daf Yoimi, the Hashkocha is half of a fella. Tonight is the Yartzai of Rav Shlomo Rabbi Yitzchak. I mean, who is part and parcel of the Torah? Like Rashi, nobody. The schus that he was zoichet to, and to have a hemshech through the Bali Tosfos, and that every single, you can't learn Gemara without Rashi, you can't learn Chumash without Rashi, there's no such mitzias. Who was zoichet to that? Nobody. Nobody was zoichet to that. Nobody. It's an incredible, incredible schus. Sefsoysav yiyu, doivos bekever, schusa yogan aleinu ami.